Who's got the biggest, the cleanest, the coldest whips of all?
Buzz!
Can you dig it? Who's never late and never missed a single call?
Buzz!
Right on time. Who is the man when you need a chauffeur in Duval?
Buzz!
Damn right. Now listen, when you need a ride to the airport, the bar, a wedding, or anywhere in between, call the man we all know as Mr. Pay-Per-View.
Buzz!
904-887-0763.
Hey, Eric, take that goddamn roll tide shirt off.
Love you guys, Duval County.
Let's go.
What else would you want to smell like besides a dryer sheet, though, honestly?
So today, I always wondered, it's so funny that we're talking about this. On the end cap, there's two boxes of Bounce dryer sheets. One's orange and one's white. And, like, I've seen them the whole time I've worked there. And I'm like, I hit, like, 8 years, I think, like, next week or something. That's TGT, right? They've always been there. So, but today, I stopped and I looked at them. And the white one is there's no scents or perfumes. So, like, makes your clothes soft or whatever, like, no static, but it doesn't make them smell good. And at that point, I'm like, if your skin's that sensitive, you're just missing out.
Yeah, pretty much. Like,
there's nothing better than, like, when you put your shirt on and you get the mix of the softener and the detergent, it's just, like, fucking euphoric.
Right. It's like watching Taven Bryan play football.
Welcome to the Bold Take, where we will discuss the deep sense of linen sheets and how they relate to Taven Bryan, as young John Caputo says.
You said Taven.
I know. I'm repeating.
Okay. All right.
That guy's so irrelevant, I don't really like care to joke about him anymore. Like, it's not even fun.
All right. You want to kick this thing off?
I think we just did.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The Bold Take, Season 2, Week 4.5.
But listen, before because we're all kind of laughing, we've all got smiles on our face right now, before we get into the laughing our pain away portion of the 2020 season, which is coming at the end of this episode.
Have we already started this? Like, that was the worst lead-in ever.
No, Dillard said, welcome to the Bold Take. I'm just going to start it right there. It was perfect.
Oh, my God. We're the Jacksonville Jaguars of podcasts right now.
But before we get to having any fun, we got to start by talking about the Cincinnati game, right?
Is that who we played last, or was that 2 weeks ago? I feel like it's been forever since I think it's because I checked out in the third and a half quarter.
Well, we did win the toss, and we did take the ball first.
Yeah. Small victories.
Yep.
Immediate improvement was made before kickoff. So, at that point.
I don't know if it's a coincidence or not, but we did stay in the game a little bit longer.
Yeah, well, according to Austin Land, it doesn't matter. So, we should just stop talking about it.
All right.
he tweeted about bees or something the whole time to prove, apparently, how much. It didn't matter. I don't know.
Bees in the trap.
Yeah, no, it was good that we took that, because it felt good to not be down like 14-0 immediately. Like, our offense got a couple of snaps. Defense actually looked okay, sort of at first, kind of.
Had a lead.
Yeah. They got a turnover.
These are just the facts of what happened.
And then we helped them. I mean, like, it was – so it's kind of hard to argue that that isn't what they should do anyway.
Yeah.
Irrespective of what came later, it was a better start to the game than what they've had. It's hard to argue otherwise.
It is. Yep.
So, but apparently, again, according to Austin Lane and several others, it doesn't matter anyway.
Doesn't matter.
So well, esoteric. Nothing really. Does anything really matter?
Actually, nothing matters. So yeah. If we want to just end it there,
yeah,
that's the truth and everything. Like literally, whatever you're stressing about that you have to do tomorrow, like once that comes and goes, you're gonna like literally not even think about the fact that you wasted multiple days of headspace just sweating it out for no reason. Literally, nothing matters at all.
Talk to him. Talk to him, Dylan.
Love you, JB.
Talk to him. Tell the people about it. I mean, I like where we're going here. Let's not even talk Jaguars football. Let's just give life advice.
Let's talk about nothingness and how, like, that's why, really, I think when it comes to being a good person, you have to be, like, actually happy with yourself so that you can be positive, like, towards other people without it ever, like, coming across as being fake.
For sure. For sure. I mean, it's hard to fake positivity. Like, I look at the guys who, all right, let's put it this way. If you're faking positivity, you're either completely full of shit, like, and you believe your own shit, right? Like your own bullshit. Like you've started to do that. And that's the people like these motivational speakers, right? They're so full of fucking shit. Yeah. Right. Like what's the guy here locally that, I see people retweet all the time. Is it John Gordon or something like that?
Yeah, like, I don't have a clue.
Yeah. I mean, these people who are like, oh, that's what I do for a living. I'm a motivational speaker or a life coach. I got a buddy whose mom is a fucking life coach. I'm like, she's been divorced like 3 times. Like, doesn't have a fucking any other job. And she's like trying to legitimately help people, like be a life coach. And I'm like,
yeah,
what exactly are you coaching here? Like, are you like the fucking Gus Bradley of coaches? Like, I don't
see, that's what I'm saying though. Like that person right there's the perfect example. Like, clearly they've like their life has hit so many snags that they're trying to find happiness through other people, and they're literally just trying to guide them on a path that they're involved in because it's like fun to them, because they're trying to live through it, whereas they're not doing it because they're like, that's what they're called to do, that's what they feel like they should do. It's just literally because I'm a known bullshitter, and at this point in my life I'm just gonna try and like live vicariously through you, and if it goes bad, like whatever, I'll have another customer tomorrow anyway.
Yeah, I feel that sort of like my another buddy of mine who started like a whole church of like positivity and stuff and got it going and had a bunch of people buying it. Oh, jeez. Shout out to my boy, Curtis Dvorak, the positive energy advocate. Love you, Curtis. I don't know what the hell happened to you. I remember the days when we used to do stupid, crazy shit and, you know, whatever. I know you get a lot of flack these days, Curtis, for being an anti-vaxxer and a COVID truther, but I still love you. That's why I still follow you.
Same.
Do you guys, all right, on that note, do you guys follow anybody on Twitter, whether it be from other fan bases or kind of other sides of maybe the political aisle or whatever, that you only still follow because you're like, I can't live in a complete echo chamber. Like, I need that person.
Yeah.
Like, right? Do you guys follow those people too?
Absolutely. And I call that a hate follow.
Okay.
And I don't even know if it's...
Okay.
No, I do hate them because, like, literally what they're saying, like, I just don't agree with it all. I seriously hate them. But, like you said, sometimes, like, to remind myself that I am sane, like, you need to see the other side. So you – because Twitter is an echo chamber. Like, you literally pick who you want to follow.
Right.
And, like, they say what you want to say, like, overall. And you have the ability to choose what you're seeing. So you can easily, like – you know, do what the NFL needs to do and make a bubble. And that's, you know, you.
That's where you live. Yeah. Right. Well, that's social media in a lot of ways in general these days. That's how people begin to think that everything is so black and white. You know, my side, what I believe, And then the other side is just totally wrong. And, you know, that's how we end up kind of in those situations. But yeah, I don't know that I necessarily hate the people that I still follow. Mm-hmm. But every time I look at it, like I would say maybe once a week when I see their tweets pop up, I want to be like, oh, dude, I'm gonna this fucking clown. I'm gonna unfollow him. But then I have to tell myself, all right, but he or she—they're the only ones bringing like that opposite perspective, mm-hmm. and I need that every once in a while, to check myself. Because I mean, going back to your original point, Dylan, most of the shit that we deal with is all bullshit, and whether it's politics or whatever the fuck it is, it's smoke and mirrors, right? Like I believe yeah. that it's smoke and mirrors. Like there's a greater grift going on above whether you're Republican or Democrat. And so, I feel like I need that. I need that. I used to follow people from like rival teams and stuff, but they've either blocked me or I blocked them. But like, I still follow Paul Kaharsky. That was fun today.
Yeah, it was fun today.
That was fun as all. Did you watch his little video?
No, I didn't. I just saw people calling him idiots and stupid, and he was like, "Just read it." And it was hilarious.
Oh, his video, like he's sitting there taking a sip of his water, like a Kermit sip, like, and he's doing like a Instagram live kind of thing, Periscope thing, and he's like, basically, everybody who's typing in, they're like, snitch.
Yeah, dude, they were big mad at Nashville today. And for those of you that don't know what happened. Obviously the Titans have been like shut down, no like practicing or anything together. I guess they met up at some high school and they practiced together and it was illegal. And Kaharsky even tweeted Ryan Tannehill that like Tannehill was there. So it was like definitely a thing. And now it's like a whole big issue and they're all calling their like beat guy a snitch and it's hilarious.
Question. I thought I saw a picture of like, from far away, like kind of blurry, that maybe like somebody snooping took on their camera of players at a high school. Was that actually like a picture of the?
There were a couple of different. Yeah, I mean, I guess they can't. I don't know if anybody's necessarily completely confirmed it, but like NFL is investigating it. I guess the NFL's known about it for a couple of days, and you know what was it? AJ Brown is that who for them? He basically quote tweeted Paul Kaharsky, one of the photos from like Paul's article. And he's like, man, ain't nobody in a court of law is even going to be able to prove that's us. I'm pleading. Like, this is what this dude tweeted. I plead the fifth. Y'all stay safe out there. That's what he tweeted. That is humorous, but I'm guessing that your GM, your head coach, and you know your owner are probably wishing that you would just shut the fuck up right now. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we did a good job of completely navigating away from the Bengals game, Dillard. Solid stuff.
Yeah, man. That was good.
Life coaches, a brief foray into politics, and you know that there's that one guy out there who totally just said, "Come on, man."
This podcast sucks.
You guys got political for 3 minutes.
And we didn't even really get political. We just spoke about like how to walk you on. But anyway, that's funny. No, and yeah.
Shout out to you, Brad, if you're still listening, man. Sorry.
The Jaguars play the Texans this week. The Texans are also quite defeated. They actually have a worse record than the Jaguars. They've fired their general manager and head coach, which happened to be the same person, Bill O'Brien, a.k.a. Butthole Chin. Do you guys have any opinions on that?
Yeah, well,
it's quite interesting. Yeah, I was going to say, quite honestly, I don't give a fuck. But let's hear it. What do you got for us?
No, yeah. I was just going to say that the only opinion I have is, I don't know if you guys saw I tweeted this, I think you can make a really solid argument that Bill O'Brien is the third best Jaguars coach of all time, purely based off of the fact that he traded away Nuke and he has pretty much wasted JJ Watts. Like he's pretty much like his prime. So hands down, when 20 years from now, 30 years from now, JJ Watt will probably still be the best defensive player they've ever had in that franchise. And he totally wasted his prime. And he traded away Nuke when Nuke has plenty of good football still left in him. So we don't have to face him twice a year. So just based off of that, I would argue in a court of law or outside of one, that Bill O'Brien is the third best Jaguars coach of all time.
And that being said, he's like 10-2 against us in his last 12.
Right. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Just based off of those two things. And then, oh, well, three things, really. Because then he traded away all those first-round draft picks, too, which was really nice of him. But you know what the really sad part of that is? The really sad part is we are in zero position to, A, laugh about any of it, and then, B, to probably ever actually capitalize on it. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I also, like, if we're going to watch the NFL at all and we don't get enjoyment from anything else, it's like, what are we doing it for? Because quite frankly, we've had a month of football and I'm about over the whole thing. I'm enjoying all the other sports right now. College football has been a blast. Soccer has been a blast. The NFL is boring as hell. The Jaguars are terrible. I'm sick of watching them play every single week. They look like they have no idea what's going on. And I thought the most damning thing like that you could possibly ever hear this week was when Doug Marone said the Jaguars aren't doing that many stupid things. The guys aren't doing things they're not supposed to do, which just tells you they suck. Like they're where they're supposed to be. They just slow and they're not good enough to get there. And until we get rid of Todd Walsh, I just don't think anything about the Jaguars is fun. Because it doesn't matter what the offense does, they're still going to give up 30 points plus on defense. So if they don't play perfect, it's all fun for nothing. So it's another year of looking forward to the draft and going through the motions, you know, for the rest of the season.
Well, if you don't want to talk football, let's just go ahead and talk some Lot J. What do you think? What's the over – if I put the over-under at 2030 by the time it gets fully completed, what would you take over or under?
I'll say under because most of it will be funded by Khan. If it was the city that was, like, in charge of it, I would say over. But Khan's just straight up running, like, robbery on the city of Jacksonville. So because he'll be pulling the strings, that'll get done a little bit quicker.
I think if they get through city council, which I everything I've read and I've heard, they probably won't have a problem just because he has so many connections at this point with people. He has enough connections on the council to be able to push this through when it comes to a vote. If they get through that, then I think he wants to have it, you know, break ground pretty quickly. Kind of like what they did with the amphitheater. Once they jumped over that hurdle of – figuring out the funding and then getting it all approved locally.
Yeah.
They broke ground quick and they moved pretty quick. You know what I mean?
Mark Lamping said that it would take 36 months from groundbreaking. And he basically sounded like the beginning of 2021 or the middle of 2021 would be like the earliest they could break ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's a lot of remediation that has to happen first. So like, yeah, I guess
we're talking about 2024 is like the minimum, if everything goes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with construction projects like that, the hardest thing is getting it started.
Yeah.
Especially when you talk about when you're dealing with contaminated land, like the hardest thing is just getting it started. Once the cranes are up, them dudes will work. It's Florida. They can work year round. You know what I mean? Like it'll be, I would not be surprised to see it done in 2.5 to 3.5 years once they actually get it going. You know, as far as my opinion on it overall, it's been interesting, right? Like I had a kind of a series of tweets the other day and got a good amount of feedback from them. I think a lot of people feel the same way. Like 3-4 years ago with Shad, when he first started talking about all this stuff, I was excited. I mean, I think a lot of us were. It's like, hey, we finally have somebody with deep enough pockets and the interest in developing downtown and you know, getting some things going, getting some cranes up and building. And what's happened since then is, you know, a lot of people, I see a lot of people commenting on a couple things. One, Oh, it's more and more renderings. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. It's just a bunch of renderings. Oh, it's rendering season. And a lot of us make those jokes, whatever. But a lot of people seem to kind of take that seriously. Like, oh, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. It's just more renderings. And you see a little bit of like bitterness or frustration that people kind of emanate with it from that angle. For me, that doesn't bother me that much. Like, I understand when you're dealing, A, with the city of Jacksonville, B, with contaminated land, and C, with probably some fairly underhanded deals. Like, let's be honest. They're not exactly the best deals that the city could strike. It's going to take time. That shit doesn't really bother me so much. It's like, I've kind of tuned that out. For me, what has bothered me and what's soured me to the whole idea of him being our development savior is more along the lines of like, and we've talked about this before, the whole viability thing, that narrative that he keeps wanting to push. And he even kind of, he brought it up briefly in the last press conference. So for me, I am soured on the whole thing because I want to be able to stand up and say, Shahad, I don't give a shit if they're giving you a 500-year loan for $1 billion, because these buffoons, like, I genuinely believe this, these fucking buffoons, these crooks, really, is what I should say, that have run our city and that run our city, they are going to give that money to some rich crony anyway, right? Like, it is not going to these underserved neighborhoods, to the schools, to our infrastructure. It's not going there. So I'd rather give it to a guy who is affiliated with pretty much my favorite thing in town. Like, that's always been my psyche, right? That's been my mindset. But Shaw, and this is what's frustrating to me, and I feel like I want to call up his you know, his PR guy, Jim Woodcock, and be like, Jim, free fucking advice here, my guy. Like, you could literally own the entire town. Have a strong majority of the local people that would back you on any bit of money you want if you just shut the fuck up about London, about viability.
Like, 100%, dude.
If you just know, quit talking shit.
Just quit talking. Like, that sours. So now it's going to be this public perception battle. Mm-hmm. It really is. You already start to see some of the news, the newspapers. They're doing their job. They should be skewering it. And I would be that person. 5 years ago, I would have been that person who's saying, ah, fuck off, news. Like, who cares? Give him what he wants. At least somebody's trying to do something. Of course we're not. We're fucking Jacksonville. Nobody wants to build here right now. So, of course, we're going to have to give shit away. Like, but I have a little bit more of a tendency now to be like, well, man, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
100%, dude. That's me. So, like, 5 years ago, I would have told everyone, like, dude, shut up. Like, government's going to spend their money where they're going to spend their money anyway. And now I, like, dude, shotgun, bro, just shut up, dude. Either build it or don't build it. Like, I don't care. You're always running your mouth about doing something. And you give me scoreboards that I don't give a shit about. And you give me pools that I don't give a shit about. And the amphitheater's cool. Like, thank you, I guess. Like, I have fun there. But other than that, what have you done for me? The football team still sucks. I hate the head coach. I hate everyone that's involved in the team except for, like, the people who don't work or for the people who don't have anything to do with the actual football. And then, like, what the fuck's the point? It's just crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think officially – I was thinking about this quite a bit today, knowing that we'd talk about it for at least a few minutes. And I think officially I'm still in the camp of, hey – let's start some development. Like, we got to start. And yes, if I'm being totally transparent, I think the new design sucks. I think it lacks creativity. I think it lacks, a real unique aesthetic. I think some shit that the architects threw together, it's very basic, very bland. So I don't love that, but you know what? Get it going. Cause I think if they can get this going, that'll benefit some of the intuitions of the world and some of that. If they ever get the district going across the river, that'll be fucking great. Supposedly that's supposed to happen next year. Believe it when I see it. I think that there's a good chance that after COVID subsides a little bit, the Armada could come back and would have a stadium basically right across the expressway from all of this development, which could really tie a lot of stuff in. We saw, Looks like the Downtown Investment Authority is moving forward on a lot of the Laura Street Trio stuff, which is positive. So I'm still like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, yeah, he's getting a freaking sweetheart deal. Yeah, it doesn't actually tie him. You know, I saw like Casey Ayers, shout out Casey. You know, everybody knows Casey the Brain, as I call him, like kind of the brain trust of Jaguars Twitter. Obviously really intelligent, really smart dude. He's making some tremendous points about it. Like, it's a failure, and I agree with him in a lot of ways, but I also just can't be fucking arsed to really get that passionate about it anymore. But he was making points about, hey, it's a failure of our local politicians to not tie this to a guarantee of, you know, all home games in Jacksonville, or hey, 20-year extension on the lease. Then I've seen some good dialogue, like with, you know, former Mayor John Delaney and Nate Monroe, shout out to the homie Nate. Just some good dialogue going on around it. Some intelligent local people talking about stuff. I saw one guy say, well, you know what, like, let's quit fucking around. Like, if we're going to do this and we're going to bond this much money, let's actually just do the stadium. Take the $500 million it's going to take to fucking replace the entire upper decks, completely redo them, do the shade, you know, the shade feature, and get a new lease in place for 20 plus more years, right? Like, let's fucking do it. And I get all that stuff. So there's a lot of moving parts to this. I keep coming back to, even though I'm hypercritical of Shad Khan, even though I'm probably, if it's possible, even more critical of Lenny Curry, Kenny Lurie, I still just look at it like, man, at some point we got to start building some stuff. Mm-hmm. And if that means handing shit out, if that means that this has the potential to be being the next landing, then so be it. The landing had a good run for a little while. Like, you know, if we as a city can't figure out how to connect the stadium and Lot J to the rest of downtown, then that's a failure of city leadership. You know, that's a failure of development, of planning. Like, but if somebody wants to fucking come and build some stuff, let's let them build some stuff.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's how I feel.
So, you know.
And for me, it's like, don't get me wrong. If they build it, I hope it's awesome. I mean, I'm not like against it at all. I just don't agree with the way the city spends their money, but we all know that. As you said, the renderings, they don't look very aesthetically pleasing. They're more like cookie cutter. It kind of feels like the one side of the town center, you know what I mean, like by Jay Alexander's. It's all just kind of like nice white brick and square. So yeah, it is what it is. But if they do build it, I really do hope it's successful, because like you said, if they can bridge all those gaps, downtown would be a cool place to go.
The greater problem for me isn't will they build it. It's not even so much where's the money coming from? Where is it not coming from? I just have very little faith in the business side of the Jaguars being able to manage and really put something unique and cool together with like that whole live arena aspect and all of that. Like, because it's like, we saw these renderings, we had these promises for Daly's Place. And Daly's Place is cool, but it's not what we were all expecting. The club section, the new club section is booty. It's not like they had these grand renderings. It was going to be so cool. And the open air thing is kind of cool. But overall, I remember walking through them and having a tour right before it opened. I'm like, this looks like half finished, you know? So I wonder what it's all going to look like. Because if the renderings are so blah, things don't even usually end up being as cool as renderings. So that's my concern, right? It's like, if we're going to do this, build something badass. That's how I feel about it.
Go ahead.
It's going to be like a knockoff Patriots Place.
Yeah. Which I haven't been to. And I saw Martineau is like, you know, nobody went to Foxborough before Patriots Place. And I'm like, well, yeah, because Foxborough was a place of like 15,000 people. Why would anybody have gone to fucking Foxborough? And I guarantee you, nobody in Boston proper is sitting in their like loft apartment right now and saying, oh, what do we want to do tomorrow? You know, Friday night. Oh, let's go up to Foxborough. Nobody's fucking saying that. It's for people in that outlying area.
Yeah, no, it was a cool spot, but if like once you do it one time, it'd be nothing I'd like ever want to do again. It was mostly because it was freezing cold and it was like a place to sit inside and drink.
It would be like going to, in my head, the way I envision this kind of thing is like going to the town center to hang out, like on a Saturday night, you know, like when there was the club there and then Blackfin, and you had those like three or four little areas right there that people would go to. It's like, this has no character. This is a fucking shopping mall. And that's kind of what I think here it's going to be. Honestly, I think the coolest part of it is if they can get residential in there and they actually fill up that residential. That's important because that'll help that area. So anyway.
It's going to be like that bougie brunch spot where you pay like $14 and you get like a pancake and one like fluffy egg and you're hungry 3 hours later.
Yeah. You know what I figured out?
A tourist in there, basically.
And I don't know if it's just as I've gotten older or what, but I am actually a fan of pre-gaming at bars. Like, tailgates are cool. I'm not like this huge, you know, I know we throw it. Don't get me wrong. I love our tailgate. It's great. It's, you know, amazing. I've met so many awesome people out there. We have a lot of fun. But when we do these road trips, specifically like when we just go with like the homies and just a small trip, sometimes just kind of chilling in a bar, grabbing a couple beers, like fucking hanging out, soaking up the atmosphere, seeing some other games on TV or whatever. Like, I don't know. Like, I kind of dig that. So it'll be cool that there'll be, I guess, more bar options down there for people to go to. I won't go to it pre-Jaguars game, but
it's going to be a lot. I think it's a lot having to do with, like, obviously away fans and events and things like that. Like, that's going to be the place that catches all the people that don't know where to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it'll get the casuals down there in the same way that the Bud Zone gets casuals into the stadium.
Yeah.
It'll get the area, you know, more busy, more popping. So, like, from that standpoint, like, that's definite to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. I remember Seattle. I know neither one of you guys went on that trip. Almost eight years ago. But there's, like, nowhere to tailgate around the stadium. People just go to breweries and bars because, like, they're all around the stadium.
It's, like, close to downtown, right? It's heavily popular.
Yeah, it is. And there's, like, no parking. Like, and there's the areas where there's parking, there's not, like, areas to set up a tent and tailgate. Like, it's just very – there was, like, this one – it was actually kind of cool because it was, like, stuck in between. Like, it was at a weird angle, not, like, completely all the way back like an alley. So it was, like, kind of – the alley was like in one area was like cut off like in a triangle. And it was just this little area where they could fit like maybe 10, 12 cars. And it was just probably 30 tents in there. And it was just like, that was the area where like, if you're a tailgater, like you're fucking there. Like, and I don't remember seeing a whole lot of other places. So yeah, that was unique, but a cool atmosphere too. But I guess, you know, in a lot of ways it's Seattle. It's always fucking raining. It's cold. Like, why do you want to be outside anyway?
Right.
So it made sense. By the way, that, you know, if President Trump gets reelected and cures COVID, then next year is Seattle away.
Nice.
Well, so sweet.
Catch that ass whooping, but, you know, a fun trip.
Well, the only thing that really pisses me off about the whole Lot J thing and especially the financing aspect, as is kind of being uncovered by the aforementioned Nate Monroe, our friend Christopher Hong.
Christopher.
Is that Shad Khan has basically gotten money from the city that covers what he paid to Nick Foles. And that really pisses me the fuck off.
I saw you tweet that today. And I thought that
was fantastic. I mean, I feel like I paid for Nick Foles at this point.
Which, I mean, if that's not the ultimate, like, power move. I don't
got
know,
more money than you.
You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, you know what? Like,
you didn't like that
I kind of want to, like, take a screenshot of that tweet, print it out and frame it, and like send it down to Shad and Mark Lamping and Dave Caldwell and be like,
well played, motherfuckers.
Yeah, like, congrats, boys. Congrats. Many congrats from the Bold Take pod. Many congrats.
Maybe it's kind of like how I feel. It's kind of like how I feel when I paddle my kayak right by the Kismet.
Yeah. Well, that's how I knew there were renderings, because the Kismet's in town and Shad was here on a Monday. Like, I tweeted that. I was like, oh, it must be rendering Monday. Shad's here. He's here on a Monday. You know, shout out to him.
So, since we got all that out of the way and we didn't really talk about the Cincinnati game at all, let's just do one sentence takeaway from the Cincinnati game. You ready?
Look, James Robinson needs to be used more. He's a stud. Love him.
There's your sentence.
Yeah, it was great to see DJ Chark. Can't really think of much else. Miles Jack continues to play freaking amazing. And then, of course, in true Jaguar fashion, he gets hurt. Josh, I'm just going to keep giving like 8-word sentences real quick. Josh Allen
stinks.
Is a missing person.
Like, stinks. Get your milk cartons out. He's on them.
Did you go back and watch that game, Dylan?
Absolutely not. No, I watched 2.5 quarters of it in real life. When Chris Claybrooks got beat on outside contain the second time, guess what? Ask Sally. I was at Sally's house. I went from watching inside the garage. I just went outside and just chilled. I didn't watch no more of the game. I would forget it. You do it 2 times, bro. I can't handle that. That's like real stupid shit. And I'm not. I get 2 days off a week, and I'm not giving you like fucking 6 hours of my day to play like that. I'm sick of it.
You want to write him a letter?
We probably can't read it. Can't read the offense.
Yikes. My one sentence was just going to be that DJ Chark is the best player on the team. Period.
Yeah, period. Too bad the defense just gave up 42 points, and it means fuck all.
Yeah. Yeah. Dilly, you want to talk real quick about how you've gone from Team Gardner Minshew to Team not Gardner Minshew?
Not really. He stinks. The end. No, I'm joking. No, man. Gardner's fine. He is what he is, though. He's like a top 20 quarterback, and if he overperforms, he'll give you a really good game, and you might have a shot to win. And I think we would be better and have maybe a higher opinion of him if the defense was playing better, but the teams are starting to do really basic stuff, and they're just playing cover two almost, keeping him in the pocket and making him throw everything underneath, and he just looks like a deer in the headlights. If he's in man coverage, he's super comfortable, real comfortable in the pocket, moves around in the pocket really well, but if they do any kind of, you know, containment on the rush and they just drop people in zone coverage, he looks like he's got no idea what's going on. And that's scary, man. And it's not like we invested a lot in him, so it's not like scary in that sense. But if we're going to keep our wagon tied to this horse, we're going to need to see some better gas mileage.
That was good. I have no clue what you just said, but you tied like 3 different things into almost making sense there. I like that. I really appreciate that.
So are you returning the jersey?
Yeah, it's in the car prepped for return. I'll probably wear it again. Maybe I need to like double funk it out. It's been sitting in my car for a week now.
I thought about this the other day.
I should return it.
And then I simultaneously like tweeted it when I thought about it because it got me down. I wasn't drinking, like I wasn't pounding the Kool-Aid, right? When the Deacon, the good Deacon was handing it out, I wasn't going back for seconds. But now I seem to be more aligned with the big Dillistotle than ever before. So I'm quite, how do I put this? I am quite
apathetic,
fed up, and borderline, and bordering bordering on apathetic at this point when it comes to this team. And I have zero faith in them, the current iteration led by the current people, actually ever achieving anything. But with that said, I found myself thinking about it and looking at this fucking division and saying, our offense really is talented enough. Mm-hmm. There's enough there where if we just had like a middle of the road defense, we could probably compete for the playoffs. And that makes me fucking sad.
Yeah.
Because why can't we have – I was looking at it. There are teams with worse pieces on defense than what we have, and they don't look as fucking lost and terrible as we do. So it just that just made me even more sad. So I went from apathetic and pissed off to now like just kind of sad because it's like here we are.
And yet for me, I don't really have a good sad feeling. So for me, it just goes from caring to apathetic. And I agree with you fully in the sense of how you got there. Like on paper, the team isn't that bad. Your question marks going into the season aren't bad, especially on offense. James Robinson, really good. Laviska Shenault, really good. On defense, we knew we would struggle getting pressure. But like Cap said, there are teams in the NFL. I've watched teams play on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football that their players are worse than our players, and they still make it work. And obviously, let's just get to where we're going to get to and talk about Todd Walsh. Todd Walsh is the issue. And Todd Walsh sucks all the fun out of football. It doesn't matter what the offense does that's fun. And when I say Gardner's like a top 20 quarterback, I fully agree that the offense is talented and they're fun and they have – every week they have the capability to score a lot of points. I fully agree. I fully believe that. But Todd Walsh sucks the fun out of football. He sucks the fun out of the Jaguars. He's been here for so long, and we're running the same defense that didn't work 5 years ago. It's not working now. We keep doing it over and over. Wade Phillips is, like, begging for a job on Twitter right now. Like, I just want to help anybody. I just want to help somebody.
My guy would work for free at this point. Like,
and we've got Todd Walsh going out there every week running the same stupid defense that doesn't work, and we know it doesn't work. And we pretend it's maybe going to work, but we know it doesn't work. And it makes it not fun. I don't know.
Dylan, did you just name a person that you would rather see as the Jaguars defensive coordinator besides Todd Walsh?
I think I did.
Before we get into that, I know we're going to get into to probably what will be certainly the most popular segment of this episode.
If anybody's still listening.
We got to do a good job of teasing that one. Hey folks, you just got to make it through the first 36 minutes of us babbling and sounding sad and talking about everything other than Jaguars football. I would, again, spending some time reflecting on where we are.
It's just my life wild. Into pieces.
This is my last resort. call Boss Transportation.
Boss.
So the fact that so many people have continued to trust in and hitch their wagons to Todd Walsh, like Todd Walsh is legitimately going to get Doug Marrone fired.
Yep.
Doug Marrone, I don't know what he's great at. I think he's a decent leader of men. He's not a Sean McVay. He's not he's not a Vic Fangio. He's not bringing extreme expertise and guidance on either side of the ball. He's not coming in and you're automatically saying this guy's gonna cover that side of the ball. Bill O'Brien gonna cover the offensive side of the ball. So
yeah,
back in the day.
R.I.P.
Doug is—he's neither of those.
He's an offensive line coach.
He's an offensive line coach, but it's like he hasn't even been that involved in that since he's been here.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
He's the background's O-line.
Like, you got a lot of these guys, whether it's Zimmer, that's another guy I kind of forgot there. You know, whether it's Zimmer or McVay or whoever, that go in and they want to call their own plays. They want to be heavily involved in the game plan.
Great.
Like, he's not one of those. So for him to come here and, you know, I kind of compare it to like if John Harbaugh had Todd Walsh and John Harbaugh like just decided, I'm going to stick with this guy. Yeah, I'm going to stick with him. And then you bring up Shad Khan and it's like all of us can see it. There have been numerous head coaches and offensive coordinators and quarterbacks of other teams over the years that have going back to Gus Bradley, that have commented on how predictable and easy and basic this scheme is.
And some going as far as to laugh at it.
Yes. When you couple that with the fact that the results have been terrible more often than not, you know, I feel like Shad just sits there and thinks about 2017 and says, wow, what a great – we had Saxonville. We will get back to Saxonville. Like, no, it was a fucking mirage, buddy. It was a mirage in the desert. Like, it didn't exist. And it's just wild to me that so many people have continued to support them. We're not talking about Dick fucking LeBeau here. We're talking about Todd Walsh.
Yeah. Do you know how much
fourth those generation VCR tape, right? Like, we've talked about it before. Like, if Pete Carroll was the original copy, like, that shit has been dubbed and recorded four different – like, it's just I don't get it, and I know we're going to get into this bit here in a moment, but I was just thinking about it. It's like, what – if I had to sit down and draw the positives and negatives to keeping or letting him go – There's got to be dozens of people out there right now that are head coaches or that are defensive-minded coaches in the NFL or college that could do the same job, if not better, than what he's doing. So to just say, yeah, we're just going to stick with him. And I would like to ask Doug, is that your decision or was that a collective decision with Dave and Shad and everybody that we're keeping the gang together? Or is Doug just saying, I'm loyal to this guy. I'm going to keep him because that would make me sour even more on Doug. And I will say this. I'll close this part with this. There are a lot of people calling for Todd Walsh to be fired right now.
Me.
Okay. The Dillical is one of them. I would like to just present a different side of the story. I don't think he should be fired right now. I think he should be fired at the end of the year. And there's two reasons why. If Doug Marrone isn't going to be – he's taking his headphones off. If Doug Marrone isn't going to be fired right now, then don't fire the defensive coordinator. Like, if Doug is not going to be fired too, Doug decided to keep this asshole. Doug decided that he wanted to ride with this guy into the season when it's a, you know, potentially a make or break year for him. So if Doug isn't going to be fired, then you keep Todd Walsh to the end of the season, kick them all out at the end. The other part of the reason why I think you don't fire Todd Walsh right now is, hey, we're playing for a draft pick at this point, boys. And there's no easier or better, more guaranteed way to get there than to have Todd Walsh still coaching the defense throughout the rest of the season. So with that in mind, if you really want to go after the freaking generational quarterback and Trevor Lawrence, then you keep Todd Walsh in that seat and you keep that man on that wall because he's the man you need on that wall. And each of you know that.
Yeah.
Thank you. I rest my case.
So with that, should we talk about the people we'd rather have as a defensive coordinator than Todd? This episode of The Bold Take is brought to you by A1 Sliders, sliding glass door and window repair. I like to think of my sliding glass door on the back of my house as like an airplane, right? It needs to land perfectly and smoothly in the little groove, aka the runway, for proper functionality. If yours isn't, you need to head over to a1sliders.com or give him a call 386-538-6835 for a free estimate of how to get your airplane landing perfectly on your runway. Again, a1sliders.com, 386-538-6835. Give them a call and get that airplane landing smoothly right on that runway. Now back to the bold take. Podwash.
Yeah, thumbs up.
I'm in. So for those out there that maybe remember our wildly popular segment on people we'd rather see quarterback the Jaguars other than Tanner Lee, this is going to kind of go. And listen, here's what so I just got done talking about the fact that I don't think we should fire Todd Walsh. And so it was not lost on me that the last time we did this, Tanner Lee was gone in like a week. So the power of the pod, folks, may give the people what they want, whether or not I agree with it at the moment or not. So
You did just give the public your take and reasoning for why you would be inclined to maybe keep Todd Walsh. So
yes,
at least that's out there. At least it's been said, it's out there.
So last time this was just you and I, Sally. Dilla, did you prepare a list as well?
Yeah, mentally.
Okay. All right. That should be good.
All right. Who's first, boys?
You go ahead first, Sally.
All right.
Are we going to go back and forth? How do you want to structure this for the people?
I think we should go back and forth for a little at first, do it like a fantasy draft, take turns. And then, you know, after a while it kind of gets into, all right, we're 25 deep here. Let's read the other 55 on the list. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good. Buckle in, folks. I hope you got another hour for the episode.
So first, this is a very special one to me. The first person I would rather have as Jaguars defensive coordinator, other than Todd Walsh, is my mom.
Wow.
I also want to give a shout out to my mom. My mom is apparently a loyal listener. She doesn't even know what first, second, third down means, but she just listens because she thinks we're funny.
Yeah, I love your mom. She's the best.
Shout out Sally's mom.
And she would make a better defensive coordinator than Todd Walsh.
Coincidentally, I'm not even making this up. The first person on my list was Sally's mom. Dilla, what about you?
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney.
Because that guy took one in the butt cheek and he kept on plugging. So we could really use that in Jacksonville on the defensive side of the football.
I like that. That sounds like a metaphor for Friday night for meddling, but I digress. Okay, for me, gonna go. You guys got to bear with me a little bit here. I as I started to formulate this list, it sounded better if I grouped people together based off of rhyming or alliteration. So the first little riff for me on people that I would rather see be defensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars other than Todd Walsh. Excuse me. Jeff Fisher, Derek Fisher, Kerry Fisher, Joe Fisher, Antoine Fisher, the real one or the guy from the movie, Jimbo Fisher, or any kid that's a make-a-wisher.
Thank my God.
Actually, so your format there of giving like five or six at a time, I actually like. I think we should keep the five or six at a time.
I'm with you, my guy. That's how I got it here. Shout out Joe Fisher, though. I threw you in there with all the popular Fishers.
I'll go with my next five or so. Gonna go with Mitch Firkins, Frank Frangie, Telvin Smith, Jimmy Smith, Curtis Dvorak, and Stevie Wonder.
Nice. Dilla?
I'm going to go Marco Rubio and Rick Scott.
Fucking love it. Love it. Marco. All right.
Little Marco.
Next on the
list, rhyme train.
The list or the poem here, if you will, of individuals that I would rather see be
be the defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars, other than Todd Walsh, would be Adam Gase as the defensive coordinator. That's correct. Puffy and Mace, a real-life vase, the lead singer of Ace of Base. All people that I would rather have as the fucking defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm going to go with Gus Bradley. Yep, Gus Bradley. Dante Fowler, Derrick Henry, Lenny Curry, Aisha Curry, and Evan Fournier.
Okay. Oh. Well, yeah, if you know Solly and his or pretty much all of us as Magic fans, Evan Fournier, that's big. You really don't want Todd Walsh to be the defensive coordinator. Dilla, how about you?
I'm going to go Blake Bortles, Blaine Gabbert, David Garrard, Byron Leftwich, Mark Brunell, and Steve Berline.
Wow, even Steve Berline. Fuck that guy.
Wow, leaving off Todd Bauman is really sad.
Yeah.
No, that guy's successful. I'm not bringing him into this.
Yeah, we're not bringing Quinn Gray in either, or Chad Henne. All right, I've got so for the next one, it's people named Williams with the surname Williams. So I'd rather see fucking Greg Williams, who we all hate. Like, I would rather – hire Greg Williams right now than Todd Walsh.
Did he hit the quarterback?
Yeah, I would rather hire that cheating bastard to be the defensive coordinator than Todd Walsh. So Greg Williams, Robin Williams, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, Jason Williams.
He said Robin Williams.
Omar from The Wire, a.k.a. Michael Kenneth Williams. All would be Williams that I would rather have than Todd Walsh.
I'm going to go Tim Tebow, Ronnie Harrison, Ashlyn Sullivan.
Oh, wow.
Bill O'Brien, Mia O'Brien, and everyone who bought our Kool-Aid shirt.
I like that. Dilly, you got more?
Yeah, I would rather hire your local Karen than Todd Walsh to be the defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars, because I know she's got more fight and tenacity than he does.
Oh, shit. God. The local Karen would get to the quarterback. I've got – all right. Tom Coughlin. Sarah McLaughlin.
Damn it, he took one.
And an empty coffin. All people are things that I would rather have as the defensive coordinator.
Sarah McLaughlin is our first one we had in common, dude. You knocked one of mine out finally.
No, you knocked it. I'm still going to say the ones you've already said because they're part of my rhyme scheme, so just go with it.
All right.
Your mom.
My next grouping is Mark Lamping.
Okay.
Scott Parker. Taylor Lewan. Zach Braff. Brian Anger. And Mike Pence.
Oh, wow. Okay. Dilla?
Demetrius Harvey, John Shipley, Gene Fournette. I ran out of names.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go. All right. So the next portion of my list, we used the term wash. So people are things that I would rather have as the defensive coordinator of the Jacksonville Jaguars than Todd Walsh. Instead of Todd Walsh, I'd rather have acid wash, a literal car wash, face wash, a mobile dog wash, body wash, bath wash, a guy on bath salts, or otherwise known as Mitch fucking Firkins. Otherwise known as Mitch fucking Firkins. And last but not least, Tiger Woods' favorite waitress from Perkins. All people I would rather have than Todd Walsh.
I'm going to go with Dwight Howard, Ben McAdoo, Demetrius Harvey, Dillard, good one, Charles Barkley, Blake Zona, Heung-Min Son, and Sully Football.
All right.
Shout out to Sully. Big listener.
I've got Zach Goodall, Jane Goodall, or a deflated football.
Billy, do you got any? You got any other political names over there?
Lenny Curry.
A bowl of curry.
Steph Curry.
Lamon Murray.
Reading Rainbow. That's LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton, yeah. Tim Burton. I got more. I got Tebow, Bob Tebow, Will Muschamp, Dalton Dixon, Mason Dixon, and even Richard Nixon.
I'm going to go with Jeff Prosser, Leonard Fournette, Tim Deegan, Machine Gun Kelly, Sam Kavaris, and all crew members of the Kismet.
Somewhere Blake and Justin Buchanan are the only two people in the entire world that are excited that you named Machine Gun Kelly. I'm going to go with Hugh Douglas, Michael Douglas,
Boss,
Buster Douglas, and Sherman Douglas. All Douglases that I would rather have than Douglas Marone or Todd Walsh.
I'll take Bryson DeChambeau.
Nice.
Sue Bird, Larry Bird, Tad Dickman,
Big Bird,
Cardi B, and Eddie Farrah.
Eddie Farrah would do that shit too, man. And he's an attorney. Like, oh my god, the defense. Okay, I'm gonna run through a few here.
I've got about 10 or so left.
Okay, let's go. Shad Khan, Tony Khan, Shaka Khan, Andy Willis, Bruce Willis, Joe DeCamillis, and my Aunt Phyllis. All people I would rather have than fucking Todd Walsh.
I have an Aunt Phyllis too.
Shout out Aunt Phyllis.
You still got a couple more or no?
Yeah, I got a bunch more.
All right, cool. I'm gonna go.
This is like a fucking 8 stanza fucking sonnet here, my guy.
I'm going to go Al Michaels, Made by Tim, Mark Zuckerberg, Quincy Carter, Dwayne Carter, and Blippi. Anybody with
kids
probably knows.
Yeah, I don't know what Blippi is, but all the parents hate Blippi. So
he fucking sucks.
Like
so
Todd Walsh.
I hate rather have Blippi too. Fuck Blippi. all right, I've got Derek Harvey, the ninja, Steve Harvey, Marcus Garvey, Steve McNair, Paddington the fucking bear, a random carny from the fair, or anyone with a pair.
Diller, did you know that we did a podcast with Dr. fucking Seuss over here?
No, right? I didn't know.
Last but not least, I've got Gus Bradley, Bill Bradley, Milton Bradley, Sean Bradley, Michael Bradley, or a little kid that holds his junk because he needs to piss badly. Any of those fucking people I would rather have than Todd Walsh.
All right, I'm going to finish mine up. I've got Brent Martineau.
Nice.
Dr. James Andrews. Chris Jericho. Skip Bayless. I've got Boz, a.k.a. Mr. Pay-Per-View, best chauffeur in Jack.
Boz!
Shout out, Boz.
I'm going to go with Jim Jones, the rapper, not the cult leader.
RIP.
And last but not least, the last person I would rather see be the Jaguars defensive coordinator than Todd Walsh is none other than Tanner Lee.
Oh, a plot
full
twist.
Circle.
Plot
full
twist.
Circle on the bold take.
Oh, my God. You know what? I'm in with that. I was just going to end it with saying literally anyone, but I feel like, a synonym for literally anyone would be Tanner Lee. So that's way better. That's way better. That is a perfect way to close it. Holy cow. And so when Todd Walsh is fired after Sunday, everyone can just fucking go ahead and thank that segment.
Hey, I heard there's rumblings. Let's leave it at that.
I mean, we wouldn't have done, gone forward with his funeral here if we didn't know that, right?
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. I told you.
So, do we want to preview the Houston game at all, or just love you, JB?
I mean, I'll preview it. Expect pain.
Yeah, we should. We should talk about it.
Houston is favored by 6.
6.5. 6.
Did
it go down?
It's their first game with an interim coach. Just fired their coach and GM, who everybody apparently hated.
Yeah.
They pretty much sweep us every year.
10-2, my guy. He was fucking 10-2 against us. The only time we beat him was 2017. We swept him.
When they had me and you playing quarterback.
Every other year.
Yeah.
Every other year.
And they're 0-4 right now, so
they're 1-4, bro.
All of what I'm saying right now is leading me to they're gonna beat our ass, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
We
can't cover their fucking little receivers on all the little crossing routes and shit they're gonna run.
We couldn't cover our asshole with a piece of toilet paper. We are trash.
Love you, JB.
So there's your preview, folks. I'm sorry, everybody. Like, I wish that there was excitement here, but this team just has an uncanny way of ripping any excitement that you can have.
You know what? People, you can out there, you can root for all three of us to sound like fucking idiots on Monday morning.
That. Yeah, I mean, let's be real. If the Jaguars win, dude, I'm going to be happy as fuck. I know, like, in the long run, we should want to lose because we're not going to win enough for it to matter. But I always want them to win. There's so much fun when they win.
Could you imagine laughing at Houston being 0-5?
Dude, there's nothing more fun than going into the team we just beat's mentions on Twitter and talking shit.
We have to bring back. You know,
we just
lost
to the Jaguars.
We just lost to the Jaguars, exactly.
Yes, dude.
Yeah, we need a solid GIF that just says that, you know, like that we could all just fire out there, or a meme of some sort, like
maybe a T-shirt of some sort.
You just got washed. That's the one I like for when you just got washed.
Can we get a "You just lost to the Jaguars" T-shirt maybe going?
Yeah, but like, unfortunately, people wouldn't be able to break. It would be like. A lot of the other shirts we've made in the past, because either the player has been traded or quit or whatever.
People would get to wear that shirt like 2 times in the whole lifespan of the cup.
You know what that shirt would be? It'd be like, I have a pristine, like never worn edition of the cookies, champagne and cookies shirt.
Yeah.
Because every time I think about, you know what, I might wear that under my, like for the Thursday night game, I thought I might wear that underneath my jersey so that after the game, I can take the jersey off. We'll go back out to the truck, bust open the cooler, get some cookies out, some champagne. Boom. I got my shirt on. But let's be real. You can't.
You left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, you can't expect to win when you're a Jaguar fan. You just can't.
So basically, you'd be selling like a $25 undershirt.
Yeah. It's basically what we sell, bro. Are you kidding me? They're comfortable shirts. At least we use high-quality shirts. Over there,
fact.
The originals. Yeah,
I wear my "fuck the Titan, tuck the Fightins" shirt. Under.
There's something about it's crazy. The white shirts in that brand, like in that type of shirt, are just a little bit softer than all the other colors. They're uber comfy. On that note, anybody who ordered one of the Dilla Scoops shirts, those should be hitting the mail here in the next day or two. So, and Kool-Aid shirts.
White shirts.
Kool-Aid shirts are printing this week.
Yeah.
And then Bold City Brigade memberships have been closed out, and everything's been sent. We ordered a lot of cups. So a lot of people ordered those cups, excited about those. So those are in production. Should be a couple of weeks. The shirts should be printed in about a week or so. So those packages will be going out here sometimes probably towards the end of end of the month, so lots of cool shit. Yeah,
I love gifts in the mail. Gifts in the mail.
Yeah, it's the best. It's the best part about being home all the time.
You know what's cool about ordering from you guys is it doesn't come in 2 days, so you kind of forget about it, and then you just get randomly this package in the mail, and you're like, "Oh yeah, sweet."
Yeah, we call it like throwback shipping and handling. That's what we call it. Like it's to the old days, you know, where like fucking Amazon didn't fuck everything up for all of us, right?
Yeah.
Like so, exactly. Just a big surprise that you get like a little while later. So yeah, very good.
Love it.
It's awesome. Love it. Anything else? I don't really think so.
No.
Go Jaguars.
Don't think so. Please.
Jaguars. Oh, my father, I would say this, shout out to Magic Mike. My father-in-law, he was saying how, he was asking me, do you think that they're going to end up allowing more fans in the stadium? He said, you know, that would be good, right? And I said, hell no, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah, I'm going to complain if they do.
No, no more fans in the freaking stadium. Like, if we got to watch this team lose all year, I at least want to have plenty of elbow room and just hang out with my pals.
That's what I'm saying, dude. If they say that, we need to like band together to like hit for refunds because they promise a COVID safe environment and with more people, that would be against the rules.
Yeah, that's right. Listen here, Ron DeSantis. No matter what he wants to say, he didn't cure COVID. Okay, so
I just like my spacious stadium.
That's it. I love it. I think we need to just go back to. Listen, the TV viewing experience is superior. So we need to start making these stadiums smaller. That's what I'm thinking. We need to start making them smaller, and
No, keep them the same size. Just let less people in.
Yeah, that's tough. Then it's more upkeep and things like that. I'm a reasonable guy here, Sally. I know they have a business to run. Let's just have smaller stadiums.
So maybe San Diego really was onto something.
Yeah.
L.A., Diego, whatever we want to call the Chargers.
Playing at the Home Depot Center or whatever it's called now.
Yeah.
You're right. You're right. That was crazy. A nice intimate experience, I'm sure. That was good. Anyway. All right. Well, maybe we'll actually have players and things to talk about next week. If not, hopefully. we'll get a guest on. Maybe somebody totally not even football related. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Somebody like Andrew Yang. We should get him on.
Yeah. I was thinking like Nate Monroe or something. That could be cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Sweet.
All right.
Don't hang up, Cap, after he ends the recording. I have to tell you something.
Uh-oh. Okay. Congrats on the sex.
All right. Well, with that,
I love you. Speaking of congrats on the sex, I love you, JB.
Love you, JB.
Love you, JB.
Go DJ, 'cause that's my DJ. So go DJ.
Boz. Boz. Boz.
That was good. I like that one.
Boz.
Yeah, I like that one.
Boz.
You need to hear the real people real quick to see what it sounds like.
Boz.
I think you got it right there.
Boz.
Yeah.
Boz. 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 That's
if
there.
If your voice cracks, it'll be even funnier.
Boz. Boz. Boz.
All right, ready? Mm-hmm. I'm going to start the theme music for a couple seconds and then do it.